Morning again. It's a wonderful thing to sing the gospel. If you didn't know that, that's what you were just singing. It's amazing to come and celebrate the resurrection together. It's exciting. I know that if we didn't have the resurrection, there would really be no use, no more reason for us to be here this morning. Last week, we were reminded of what it looks like to love God with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, with all of our heart, and love our neighbor as ourself. And we know that this unconditional, sacrificial love only comes from the Father. It's not something that we can muster up within ourselves. And I hope that all of you, last week, we set a goal that you would have time to spend good time with the Father without distraction, time to reflect on who He is and what He's done for you, time to reflect on His love for you. We love Him because He first loved us. And I hope that you had just a fruitful time in His presence this week, just contemplating, meditating on who He is and what He's done for you. Today, we're going to reflect on the mercy and grace that He has lavished on us. We'll reflect on how He first loved us. As a follower of Christ, we will be reminded of where we once were, what Christ did for us, and what we now enjoy because of His mercy and grace. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to be looking first at verses 1 through 3 in chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one there in front of you. Let's open the Word to Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 3. And although we have prepared our hearts as we worshiped Him, let's prepare our hearts again to hear from Him through His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You for Your Word. We thank You for the Holy Spirit that helps us understand Your Word. We pray this morning that You would have Your way in us. Lord, help us not to be distracted. Help us to give our full attention to You as You speak to us through Your Word. We just pray that You would have Your way in us today, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, let's read verses 1 through 3. And you were dead in the trespasses and sin in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Now, before you surrendered your life to Christ, you were spiritually dead. If you have never surrendered your life to Christ, you are spiritually dead. Meaning, we broke God's perfect law, and therefore we have sinned against Him. And because of our sin, it has put us in a position of being spiritually dead. Sin has brought destruction and death upon this world. You don't have to go. All you have to do is turn on the TV. All you have to do is walk out in this community and get to know someone. It has brought death and destruction upon this world. It has brought brokenness into our lives. He says there in verse 1, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Before you believed in Christ, before you surrendered your life to Him, you lived and walked according to the ways of this world. Now without Christ, our leader is the prince of the power of the air. The devil himself is your leader. 1 John 5:19 states, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Your position was with the sons of disobedience, as he talks about here. Those who are influenced and led by the evil one. Those who have rejected God's way for eternal life. This was the life that you lived before Christ. We were enslaved by our sin, enslaved to the world system of life that is led by Satan. He says there in verse 2, and whence you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now in the work in the sons of disobedience. In verse 3, he tells us how we once lived as sons and daughters of this world. You lived being led by the passions of your flesh. You entertained the desires of your flesh. You carried out those desires. You gave in to whatever you desired. Your sinful nature ruled your mind and your body. You fell prey to temptation and saw no wrong in it because everyone else was doing the same things. I mean, it's easy to go with the flow. It's easy to fit in when you live like everyone else around you. In reality, you were a slave to sin, a slave to the system of this world, powerless to change your own life. But in Romans 6:6, Paul says that in Christ, we know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Amen. What a glorious thing that Christ did in us. In Christ, we're no longer slaves to sin, and this world, we are slaves to righteousness. Now, for you young people, I want you to think about this. It's just easier, isn't it, to live like everyone else at school, right? It's just easier. That way no one talks about you. No one makes fun of you. No one dislikes you. By participating in this worldly lifestyle that's being led by Satan himself, you might please your friends. You might be able to hang out with the cool crowd. But you will disappoint your Father in heaven, who, by the way, gave you eternal life. The same goes for everyone. Those who just keep to themselves, never speak truth into the people around them, who find it easier just to keep quiet and leave everyone else alone. Maybe we make excuses for why we don't have time. Or maybe we just say, you know, let them do what they want. I'm gonna do my own thing. If I don't bother anyone else, no one will bother me. Now, we may please others by not living a Christ-like lifestyle before them, but before God, we become a living sacrifice that is unholy, that is displeasing to Him, and we will suffer. We will suffer the consequence of His discipline. Look at the end of verse 3. Before we surrendered our lives to Christ, you were a child of wrath. Those who have not surrendered their life to Christ are children of wrath. Those who, listen, this meaning that your position with Satan and the world will bring God's holy wrath down on you. It's not something we want to think about. It's not something we want to think about on this day of resurrection, of life. God is holy and righteous. He cannot forsake His holy nation, His holy nature. He must punish sin. He will one day judge all people who have ever lived. Every single one of us will stand before God. And in our own strength, our verdict before a perfect judge who knows all the facts will be guilty. Guilty. Your punishment will be eternal death. Romans 6:23 states, for the wages of sin is death. God's fiery wrath will be poured out on all those who reject His gift of life and continue in their sin. There's only one way that you can have a not guilty verdict. When you surrender your life to Christ, He takes away all of your sin. And in exchange, He clothes you with His righteousness. Your huge debt of sin is paid in full. You see, there has to be a payment for sin. God says that He requires the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sin. Without Christ, you have to pay for that debt with your life. With your life. But in Christ, Jesus paid the full price for all sin. God's wrath was poured out on Jesus instead of those who believe in Him. And so for those of you who say that God is not loving, you don't know His story. You don't know how much He loved us when He poured out your judgment, our judgment, on His own Son. Romans 5:9 states, since therefore we have been justified by His blood, the blood of Christ, much more shall we be saved by Jesus from the wrath of God. In Christ, our position is changed, and we are no longer children of wrath. We are children of God. Verse 3 says, being children of wrath is the position of the rest of mankind brought on by our sinful nature. By nature, we are children of wrath. God's wrath will be poured out on this world. As children of God, what kind of faith do we have? Knowing that truth, what kind of faith do we have? What kind of love and mercy do we display as children of God to keep silent? To just keep to ourselves and not share this truth about Jesus. Essentially, we are saying, I am now safe from God's wrath. Praise the Lord. Who cares about the others? Before our position, what was this world led by Satan? We were destined for God's wrath. That was our position before. Thank the Lord for the first two words there in verse 4. But God. We were sentenced to death. God's fiery wrath would be poured on us. But in His mercy and grace, He gave us life. Look there at verses 4 through 9. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We looked at the bad news. This is where we once were, and there are over 5 billion people who are still there. Without the bad news, there is no good news. Without the bad news, we don't realize that we need Christ. God is rich in mercy, meaning He doesn't give us what we deserve. We deserve death. We deserve the wrath of our holy God, but instead He offers us life. Why? Why would He do that? Verse 4 tells us right there, because of His great love with which He loved us. God's love cannot be disputed. Who has given their only Son for murderers, thieves, liars, adulterers, gossips, and the like? Think about it. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't have to get ourselves well. We didn't have to make ourselves good to come to Christ. He came to us in our sin. While in our sin, Jesus took our sin and punishment on Himself. God took on Himself your punishment. There is no greater example of love than the love that God showed us on the cross. That's why we celebrate today. Because He didn't just die for us. He rose from the grave. He made a way. As a child, I received my share of spankings. But I remember one in particular. It was one of those times, there's four of us kids, and it was one of those times that a few of us deserved a spanking. And Dad was having a hard time following through. He loved us so much, he didn't want to spank us. But he told us, he said, you know, I will take your spanking for you. I will take your punishment on myself. I'll get a spanking instead. And we cried and we said, no, Daddy, that's not fair. You didn't do anything wrong. We deserve spanking. God did that for you. It's not fair. Jesus did nothing wrong. He had no sin, and yet He took our punishment on Himself. 2 Corinthians 5:21 states, for our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. Meaning, I get to exchange my sin for His righteousness. Verse 5, God by His grace forgave our sin and made us alive with Christ. Grace means that He gives us what we don't deserve, this unmerited favor. We did nothing to earn this forgiveness of sin in our life. There was no way for us to attain it. There was no way for us to earn it. There's no way for us to work for it. The only way is in Christ. By grace you have been saved. It is the work, it is His work on the cross that gives you life. He then tells us in verse 6 and 7 the benefit of our new position in Christ. We have been adopted into God's family. We've been given eternal life. You've been raised up with Jesus and seated with Jesus in the heavenly places. Your eternal destination is heaven. Right now, if you follow Christ, your eternal destination is heaven. Your citizenship is no longer here on this earth. It's no longer here in the U.S. Our citizenship is now in heaven. Our position is no longer under the influence and leadership of Satan and the world. We are children of the King, known and loved by Him. We now have a great inheritance in heaven. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 8 and 9 clarify our salvation, just to make sure we understand how this all works. You have been saved by grace through Christ, through faith in Christ alone. You've been saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. God is the one who saves people. You can't save yourself. You can't. As much as we work, as much as we may try, we cannot save ourselves. And therefore, you can't unsave yourself. He loved us and by His grace gave us what we do not deserve. It is by His work alone on the cross that we have salvation. His work alone. It is by faith in the work of Jesus that what He has done for us that we gain salvation. It's not by works so that no one can boast. If there was a possibility that a person could work their way to heaven, then there would be no reason for Jesus to come and die on the cross. We must believe in Him and what He did. You know, all people exercise faith to some certain amount every day on the way here. As you drove down the road, you had faith that when you crested that hill that no one would be on your side of the road. You had faith in the traffic system, the way this works. You had faith in that chair that you're sitting in, that it would hold you up unknowingly. We have faith in so many different things. It is by faith in Christ that we receive His forgiveness and life. Faith in the work that He did on the cross. Faith in the work that He did when God raised Him from the grave. When He defeated death. The one and only one who defeated death, who lives. This is the gift from God, He says there in verse 8. And in order for it to be a gift, it must only be received. If you try to pay for it, if you try to do anything other than just receive it, it's no longer a gift. You see, in God's love for us, by His grace, He made a way for us. God came Himself. Listen to this story. God came Himself. He came as a baby to the earth, born of a virgin through the power of the Holy Spirit. He lived a perfect life without sin. No sin. He had power over nature, sickness. He had power over Satan, power to forgive sin, and power to raise the dead. He was betrayed by His own people, and He was crucified on the cross by the Romans. On that cross, God poured out all the wrath, all His wrath on Him for the sin of this world. On that cross, He took all of your sin. It doesn't matter what you've done, how small or how big, He took all of it on Himself. Your punishment of death, He took it on Himself for you, for me. And He died on that cross. He was buried in a tomb. And today we celebrate. 3 days later, He rose from the grave. He defeated death. He defeated sin. And Jesus lives to offer all people the free gift of eternal life. All of mankind. But it must be accepted by faith alone in Christ alone. You can't work for it. Which means, when you come to the understanding and you of your sin, when you acknowledge that you are a sinner, that your punishment is death, and you believe in who Jesus is and what He did for you on the cross and that He rose from the grave, and then you confess Him as Lord, meaning you turn from your old life where you were in control, where it was my way or no way, where I gave in to every fleshly desire I wanted and I followed after the world and all that it gave me, all that it professed to give me hope, and I turn away from all of that. And I turn to Christ alone and I follow Him. I believe in Him and I trust in Him and I follow His Word and His way of life. It's no longer this way. It's His way. You now give Him control. He calls the shots. He makes the plans. God says when you do that, He saves you. In other words, God the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. You now have been born spiritually. You've been adopted into God's family. Your position is now in Christ. And in Christ, you are a new creation. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. You've been born spiritually of God. You now have help to overcome your flesh, to overcome your sin. And that is unlike every other religion, every other idol, every other god, false god that is worshipped all over this planet. It's all about you, and it's all on you. God knows us. He created us. He knows that we can't do this in our own strength. And so He comes to live within us. By God's grace, through faith in Christ, your position is now forever changed. For the rest of eternity, you will experience the immeasurable riches of His grace. In Christ, you are His child, and nothing can separate you from His love. Nothing. What amazing mercy and grace He has lavished on you and I. Which leads us to the last point here. In Christ, we enjoy God's good works prepared for us. This is an extraordinary verse. It is an exciting verse. It's a verse that gives us great hope for our future as a believer. In Christ, we enjoy God's good works prepared for us. Look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let that settle in. Just meditate on that just a minute. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Again, in the first few words of this verse, we see that all of this is from God. It's all from God. It's not a work of man. We are His workmanship. Workmanship here means masterpiece or work of art. God not only personally handcrafted you and He physically created you, but in Christ you're also created spiritually. In Christ He gave us new life. He made us into a new creation. Sin brought condemnation. God brought redemption. And the gift of salvation is just the beginning of life for us. It's the beginning of eternity with Him. Think about that. It's the beginning of eternity with Him. The purpose of being a new creation is that followers of Christ will walk in these good works. Good works are the product of being born of God, being born of the Spirit, becoming a new creation. Salvation cannot be gained by good works. It is not faith plus works. It is faith alone. But you can be sure that true faith in Christ will produce good works. God's purpose for us is that we walk in these works. The Holy Spirit that now lives in you will bring about these good fruits in your life. He will change you from the inside out. And He will lead you toward God's will. He will lead you to walk in these good works that He has prepared for you. James 1:17 states, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Why? Because true faith in Christ will produce good works. It is important to know we do not manufacture these good works. They are the result of the work of God in our hearts. Philippians 2:13 states, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Our good works are only evidence that we have been born of God. God is the one who produces these works in and through us. Look at how He describes these works. First, He says that these are good works versus evil works or works of the flesh. But He also says that these are good works prepared beforehand. These good works were prepared in advance for each one of you so that you may walk in them. In other words, God has prepared a path of good works for His children, which He will perform in and through them as they walk by faith in Christ. It doesn't mean that we're doing a work for God. Instead, it is God who is performing His work in and through the followers of Christ. And this is amazing. This not only means that God has a plan for each one of us, it means He thought about each of you. Before you were born, He was thinking about you and your life and how He wanted to use you. How He wanted to prepare these works for you to walk in that would bless your life, your family, the people around you, that it would advance the kingdom of God. God, who is all-knowing, loves us, and He has our best in mind, and He has prepared these special plans for our lives, full of good works. He wants to do these things in and through us. I love 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. Wow. Think about that. All grace abounds to us. We don't deserve it, but He gives it to us. He loves us. We have all sufficiency. All the sufficiency we need is given from Him in all things, at all times, so that we may abound in every good work. God has given you everything you need in Christ to walk in His will, so that He can perform these good works in your life. Everything you need is there. Can you come up with a better way? Can you come up with a better life, a better work than what God has for you? You can't even imagine what God has prepared for your life. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of a man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. Walking in God's will, allowing Him to have control of your life and fulfilling these works is not only going to bring blessing into your life, it's going to bless others in your life, those around you. These good works will have an eternal impact, not just on your life, but for God's glory in other people's lives. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, He says, "Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father in heaven." God performs good works in a believer's life to bring glory to Himself so that others may come to Christ, be adopted as God's children, so that others may no longer be children of wrath but be children of God. But where does God start? Where does He start in all this? You see, God usually has to do a work in you first before He can work through you in the works He has prepared for you. That is why it's so important that it's why we always emphasize spending daily time in His Word and in prayer, meditating, growing deeper in your relationship with Him. Scripture shows this example over and over and over. And God spent 80 years preparing Moses before He could do this great work through him to lead His people out of Egypt. God worked in Joseph's life for 13 years before he was ready to be second in command of Egypt. God anointed David as king as a youth, but it was years of suffering and even exile before God raised him up to be king. Paul spent 3 years in Arabia after his conversion, where God prepared him so that he could do the work that He called him to. Now, this doesn't mean that God cannot work in the morning through your time with Him and use you that day for His kingdom purpose. Much like the woman at the well, if you remember, she was with Jesus at the well. She came to believe, and that very moment she went back and she led many Samaritans to Jesus through her testimony. Surrender to God. Spend time with Him so that He can do a mighty work in you. Allow Him to take control so that you may walk in these wonderful good works that He has prepared for you. If you want to walk in the plans and purposes that God has for you, you must be first in the right position. And what I mean by that is only when our position is in Christ can we enjoy the blessing of His mercy and grace, the blessing of walking in these good works. Only by faith alone in Christ alone can we be moved from our position of being children of this world, children of wrath, to children of God, where our citizenship is in heaven with Christ. Only when we submit to God's leadership in our lives and spend time growing deeper in our relationship with Him can God do what He needs to do in us and do what He needs to do through us and allow us to walk in those works. Which position are you in? Are you dead in your sin, destined for God's wrath? Or are you, by God's grace, in Christ, by God's grace, through faith alone, in Christ? If you are in Christ, are you enjoying the liberty and freedom that you have in Christ? Or are you still bound by the habits of your old sinful life? As a Christian, you have been raised and seated with Christ in heaven. Practice your position in Christ. Live in freedom and victory and power, the power that He's given you over sin. He has done a work for you. He wants to do a work in you so He can work through you. As the worship team comes, if you have never believed in Christ, if you've never surrendered your life to Him, today is the day of salvation for you. None of us knows what is promised tomorrow. None of us. Acknowledge your sin. Ask Him His forgiveness. Entrust your life to Him so that He may lead you. I remember that day for me. It was a Tuesday night in 1999. And it was one of the first times. I know I'd heard the gospel probably many times, but that night, my ears, my heart were open. And when I heard this truth, I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that my punishment was eternal death in hell. And I didn't want to die. I didn't want to be in hell. I didn't want to be separated from God. I wanted to walk in the plans and purposes He had for me. And that night I surrendered my life to Him. My prayer is that you would come to that conclusion and understand that today, if you understand His truth, turn to Him. Acknowledge your sin and trust your life to Him. Let Him take over. If you are a child of God and you're here today, what's holding you back? You can't imagine the good works that God has for you, especially if you've never allowed Him to lead your life. Seek Him this morning. Whatever that means, if you need to kneel there, if you need to come to the altar, what's holding you back? What's holding you back from serving Him? What's holding you back from spending that time daily with Him in His Word and prayer? What's holding you back from walking in the works that He has prepared for you? And whatever it is, lay it aside and seek after Him. If you've never come to Christ and you need someone to talk to about that, I'll be standing over here, and come and talk to me about that. If there's questions you have, or if there's things you don't understand about what it means to follow after Christ, don't let a day go by. Let's stand and let's worship Him this morning.